This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Today we hear from two candidates trying to win their party's nomination for State House. Coming up, Democrat Annie Brown makes her second bid for state representative. But first, three Republicans are running for State House in the 66th District, which includes Van Buren and Northwest Kalamazoo County. The seat is open this year because Eric Nesbitt cannot run again due to term limits. Beth Griffin is seeking the Republican nomination in the August primary. Beth Griffin, thank you for being here.
Thank you very much for having me.
Tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
Well, my name is Beth Griffin. I'm running for the House of Representatives District 66 seat, and I currently serve as a county commissioner in my fourth year of serving for District 7 in Van Buren County, which is the Mattawan and Lawton area. I'm also a teacher by trade.
And why are you running for State House?
Well, I'm running for state representative because I have a passion for community service. I clearly see the need for common sense solutions. And by working together for a better Michigan, we can keep taxes low, we can support job creators, and we can improve collaboration between local and state government. I'm also teaching my children by example what it means to be a good citizen along the way.
Let's start with education, since you are a teacher by trade. What do you think lawmakers don't know, or do you think they have misperceptions about what actually happens in the classroom, what teachers experience?
As a teacher, you know, I guess I think like an educator. I am an educator. And I think sometimes, and this has to do with a specific legislator's wheelhouse. If you're not a teacher, you've never been in the classroom, you're not sure what it's like. And I think sometimes teachers get a really bad rap. It's an extremely tough job. You have a lot of pressures on you, not just for your own sense of personal accountability, but also for children's learning. And it's a complicated world out there. So I think that I will bring a more of a 3D perspective into what it's really like inside that classroom to Lansing. I think that's very important.
The Detroit News recently had an editorial where they said that some school districts in the state perhaps should be closed. They've lost students. They've built up a lot of debt. As a state lawmaker, would you want to consider offering incentives to school districts to consolidate, like Albion and Marshall have done, if they have, you know, financial problems and if they're facing declining enrollment?
What I can tell you is that, you know, having the K-12 background, I think it's very important for each district to have local control over their finances and over their direction and over their curriculum. From the state perspective, I would just have to do more research on that at this point. I do understand that the bottom five performing schools in terms of achievement indicates that there's a problem, and it's not just one year that they're tracking for low achievement. It's multiple years. And so obviously that's a sign that there is trouble in the district. They're struggling. You know, I don't want to get into their business, but at the same time, you know, how do you balance that sense of local control with also the goal of educating every child?
When you say bottom five, you mean like bottom fifth? Is that what you're referring to? Or I mean, not just the five.
Yeah, the bottom 5% of achieving schools.
Okay, bottom 5%. Okay.
Those are the ones that are being looked at more closely because of that.
So you're coming from someone who has served in local government. There are some local government agencies, the Michigan Municipal League and some others, who are saying that they don't think the state is doing enough in terms of revenue sharing to local governments. Hmm. What sort of perspective would you bring on that if you are elected to the State House?
Revenue sharing, as a county commissioner, revenue sharing has gone down in recent years. And, you know, that makes local entities feel the pressure. And that's a reality for us. However, that is a trend that has not reversed. And so the reality for me as a county commissioner is how do we make that money go farther? How do we make the money that we have? How can we be as efficient as possible over time? And you know, it's a tough balance. And as a local official, I've seen that stressor. I've seen how do we balance the tax money coming in with the services that we are mandated at the state level, and how do we stretch that money as far as it can go? I currently, you know, as a local official, I don't think revenue sharing is going to increase. I wish it was. I just, in my experience, I have not seen that happen. And so, realistically, as that county commissioner, we can advocate for that. We can guard against unfunded mandates coming from Lansing, and that's part of why my third point when I explained why I was running, the third point that I want to focus on is improving collaboration between local and state government. And it sort of echoes this point that, you know, revenue sharing is reduced. It's a reality. Additional unfunded mandates coming down, it placed so much more pressure on local entities, townships, townships, counties, even villages, that it's just something that Lansing needs to keep in mind, that we can't absorb everything, or what do we cut? Do we cut? So it's a tough world, but it's something that is part of a local official's job, and you know the balance is there. It's just a tough one.
This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. We're speaking with Beth Griffin. She is running for the Republican nomination for State House in the 66th District. That includes Van Buren and Northwest Kalamazoo counties. Should the state be putting any more money into roads beyond what the legislature approved late last year? And are there other infrastructure items that should also be part of that discussion, such as, say, water lines, based on what we've seen in Flint?
Yeah. Big issue, and it would be, and I've actually had this question of some families as I meet them in the community. I think the ongoing issue of road transportation funding, infrastructure funding, is something that is going to be with us, not just this legislative season or this legislative session, but moving forward. And, you know, as a local official talking to business owners in my district, I think that there is some concern that although there was several hundred million dollars appropriated this year, that there's concern that that stays where it's going to stay, and that it stays dedicated as a fund that's going to go, and not a type of fund or money source that's going to be borrowed from. Like they say, they're going to give us X amount of money, and then some money isn't there next year. I do understand that the way that the current road package this year was created, it is a form of dedicated funding, so that's a good thing, but it's also a first step of what I consider to be probably 20 next steps. And if we need, what we got this year, if I'm not mistaken, is $600 million for this current legislative year. And
which is about half of what the governor was saying.
Right, It was $1.2 billion that was needed, you know.
That's what Governor
that
Snyder
proposed,
asked for
right.
first, right.
And as a local official, I can tell you, driving the roads of Van Buren County and Cooper and Alamo Township and the city of Parchment, you know, and some of your listeners may not know this, a lot of our roads are already dirt. They're gravel. And it's a reality for us. And granted, we're more rural. And that is part of who we are. But road funding and continued success with fixing the roads affects every single sector of where we live. It affects business owners. It affects farmers. It affects families. It affects tourists. And so it's the one issue that, to me, absolutely has to be followed through on, and the funding is a first step, but it's one of many that needs to move forward. And for the last 20 years, you know, as a local official, I can tell you that the road funding is complicated. I understand that through my work with the Kalamazoo Area Transportation Study. And so it is an area where I would be able to hit the ground running and advocate wisely for increased road funding, because I see that need, and I see the way that the funding is being used, which I think it is, although complicated, it's working and it's functional. The continued assessment of roads, and there's a type of thing called a PASER rating, where roads are graded on a scale of 1 to 10. So kind of like a teacher, a perfect road is a 10, a gravel road is a 1. And over the last 20 years, so many of our roads have gone from 7 or 8 down to 5, 6s, and now, because we haven't been fixing all the roads up to perfect, to a 10 for so long, there are a great many of our roads that are 3s and 4s. And it costs much more money to fix a road from a 3 to 4 up to a 7 or 8 or a 10 now than had we invested the money years ago.
When they were less
falling apart. right. So in other words, it costs more now to fix a road than it would have had we invested the money earlier. So in my view, we absolutely have to invest as much money as we can for as long as we can, or this, or we're going to continue to kick that can down the road. And as far as my district is concerned, we've already got gravel roads.
The state has put in a ban on straight ticket voting, or taking that option off the ballot this year. Do you think that voters should have that option to punch one hole and cast their ballot for members of one party for offices down the ballot?
I support the law as it's written right now. I think, you know, voting is a form of free speech. It's precious to me. And I think as long as people show up to vote, I want to thank them for that. I think it's a form of free speech that is incredibly, incredibly important to the success of how our government works. And so right now, I think, you know, the elimination of straight ticket voting, I hope will be a form of voting that will actually encourage people to vote across the party lines, when that wasn't available, it was just not, people weren't able to do it.
Well, they've been able to, but this is taking an option away. I mean, you could always vote a Republican here, a Democrat there, but when you take the option out
to do the straight ticket,
now people, you know, they don't have that option anymore. And you know, the counter argument is we have a long ballot in Michigan with a lot of things, especially in a presidential election year, so people end up being in the voting booth longer, and sometimes that creates longer lines in some places.
No one wants to stand in a line. Wants to stand in a long line when they're voting. That's true. But, you know, like I said, as a county commissioner and as a candidate for the 66th district, my focus is listening to and connecting with families and job creators in my district. And I'm absolutely open to feedback from them on this issue, and I'll be listening for that.
You're running as someone who is a current office holder in a year when it seems that people are pretty anxious for change. Can experience actually be a liability this year?
When I talked to friends, families, other local officials, business owners about this, I talked to them about why I started in politics. I started as a teacher. I didn't grow up wanting to be a politician someday. After 9/11, and I was teaching that day in Parchment Middle School, I realized that the world is a complicated place, and that as Americans, we need to stand up and do something. Now, what that something is can be different for each person, but what I realized that day is, although I still am a teacher and an educator, and I love that, that's part of who I am, I knew I needed to do something more. That something more for me was getting involved, and I started with community service, and joined a local food pantry, or helped create a local food pantry, and just started giving back to my community. That was my something. Today, it's grown to my political involvement, and so my response to that question of, you know, is experience, you know, how do people view experience, boils down to this. If you want good things to happen from your government, you need to send good people there. And I am one of those people that stood up and realized good people need to be involved in good government. Good government makes good policy. And so I have been preparing myself for 3 years specifically to be able to be informed, to be connected, and to be serving in my community so that when I go there, I will be able to represent them well. And it's not an ego thing. This is a service thing. I've been doing this. I have been serving. I have been leading. And I've been listening for a long time. And I think that there is a difference between experience and connectedness. But for me, I'm doing both.
Beth Griffin, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Beth Griffin is one of three Republicans seeking her party's nomination in the 66th State House District. That includes Van Buren and Northwest Kalamazoo County. As far as Griffin's opponents for the Republican nomination, last week we aired an interview with Matt Nilsen. That can be found at WMUK.org. An interview with Greg Kolich has been scheduled and is set to run on Thursday's program. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Two Democrats are on the ballot for State House in the 66th District, which includes Van Buren and Northwest Kalamazoo County. The seat is open this year because Eric Nesbitt cannot run again because of Michigan's term limits law. Annie Brown is seeking the Democratic nomination in the August primary. Annie Brown, thank you for being here.
Thank you for inviting me.
Tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
I was raised in a small farming town in northern Michigan, and I attended Hope College. After college, I had the great opportunity to work for Senator Carl Levin in his Washington office. And after that, I moved to South Haven in 1985. I've lived there since 85. I met my husband there, and we have raised three kids. In the year 2000, we started our own business, which is a funeral home. My husband and I started that because the other funeral home in town had been purchased by a conglomerate in Kentucky. They couldn't find South Haven on the map, and they were price gouging families in South Haven. So we were very concerned about that. Once my children were in school, I ran for South Haven School Board, and I've served there for 11 years. And we love living in Van Buren County. Obviously, we've made it our home, and I've decided to run again for state representative because, among other things, as a school board member, I'm concerned about budget cuts to our schools.
So what would you like to do if you are elected to the State House in terms of education? What should lawmakers be doing for schools?
I think the first thing to do is make our public education a budget priority. When education is a top priority in Michigan, Michigan will be a top priority to business, industry, and most importantly to families looking for a new place to plant their roots.
So top priority means what exactly? I mean,
funding.
Is there a number that you can attach to that?
Well, the recent study came out that what students really need is a foundation allowance of more than $8,000. So it's clear that we need to be putting more money into our public schools. And when we are educating students who are at risk, special ed students, and students who are learning English as a new language, that means we need more money than what the current foundation allowance is.
Do you think the state should be putting more money into roads than what the state legislature approved late last year?
Yes. And that's another thing I hear about. People say, fix the roads. They want them fixed now, not in the future, not in 2015. And they want a comprehensive plan, not these Band-Aid approaches for fixing potholes. When we have a comprehensive road plan, and I know it means a lot of money and it's a huge investment, that will help put people back to work.
Where would you get money from for a big comprehensive plan? Does it come from other areas of the budget, or do you have to find some new revenue?
I think we have to look at the budget. I always wonder about the money that's being invested in the Department of Corrections. For example, when you look at investments, the money per prisoner is about $30,000. But then for our students, it's $7,000 per student. So I'd like to take a good look at the corrections budget and see where that money can be better used. And I know that there are some people who still feel that a slight gas tax could help fund our roads.
Are you among those people who feel that a slight gas tax might be appropriate?
I would consider it, but I think that people feel that, you know, let's do whatever it takes to fix our roads. But I think that we really need to look at where the money is going. And another thing is that I'm concerned about where revenue sharing is going. You know, there's money that's being denied to our municipalities. And I think the revenue sharing that the state owes us could also be used to fix our roads. Since 1998, there's been a loss of $7.5 billion in revenue sharing in Michigan, including $38 million for the city of Kalamazoo, $1.6 million for Cooper Township. And when you also take a look at the budget surplus, the governor's rainy day fund, let's take that money and put people to work.
On the subject there of revenue sharing, are you saying that this money that should have gone back to local governments should go right to roads, or should it be perhaps allocated to local governments with an understanding that it is going for infrastructure to pave the roads in their jurisdictions?
I think that it can be given to the municipalities and let them decide. It can be used for local infrastructure, for street repairs. In some areas of our district, there are bridges that are crumbling. There are bridges and walkways that are shut down because they're not safe to use anymore.
What about water infrastructure? I mean, we all know now about Flint and the problems that they had with lead contamination. There are lead water lines that run under the ground in cities throughout Michigan. Should that be another priority, and how should the state address it?
I think that should absolutely be a priority. I know everyone wants safe water to drink. And Flint is an example of just a terrible catastrophe when it comes to infrastructure. And, you know, this is a city that I think was pushed on the back burner and ignored for too long. And there are other smaller towns in the 66th district that are having water problems too, like Lawton, like Hartford. And I think we need to take a good look at the lead pipes across the state. And Flint is any town. It could happen anywhere. So I really think that that should be a priority to make sure that every city has safe drinking water.
This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. We are speaking with Annie Brown. She is a Democratic candidate in the 66th State House District, which includes Van Buren and Northwest Kalamazoo County. Should the state be putting additional regulations now on medical marijuana? There's a lot of local government officials who are concerned about where the dispensaries end up and concerned about how much they can actually do to regulate it themselves. Should the state be enacting some sort of new regulations in this area, at least give some guidance to local governments?
I think that more guidance in this area is good. I think when voters voted on this, they thought of elderly grandparents who would be using medical marijuana to ease their pain when they have health issues. In our 66th district, we've seen a few cases where people took advantage of the situation of having small shops to sell medical marijuana. So I think that because this legislation is relatively new, I think there is some oversight that would be helpful to make sure that people are following the law and that the medical marijuana is going to the right people who need it.
Does the state legislature have to respect the fact, however, that this was a voter-approved initiative and that therefore it seems that the will of the people at the last time we could measure it accurately and definitively was that they wanted some form of medical marijuana to be available?
Absolutely. The people voted and the people have spoken. So I think that we absolutely have to follow the vote of the people. But I think in all cases, there are some people who are taking advantage of the law and using it inappropriately. That's what needs oversight.
There was going to be a ballot initiative to perhaps make recreational marijuana legal in Michigan. Regardless of that, would that simplify things, just to say that recreational marijuana is legal in Michigan?
I don't think so, and I don't support legalizing marijuana. I believe that, from what I've read, early substance use can affect brain development and increases the chances that someone can develop another addictive disorder later in life. So I'm not in favor of that.
Couldn't you also say that about alcohol?
Absolutely. Yes, I think that like all substance abuse, we have to look carefully at alcohol too. So there's a real problem when high schools are graduating students who, by the time they cross the stage and accept their diploma, already have problems with alcoholism. So yes, we have to be careful with that too.
But we're going to keep alcohol legal for the foreseeable future, correct?
Yes, we are.
I guess what's the difference between alcohol and marijuana that we keep marijuana illegal in your mind?
I think that we have learned from, you know, alcohol that can lead to problems too. So we don't need more problems with legalizing marijuana. So I think that it's just like alcohol, it affects brain development and sometimes can lead to as a gateway drug. So I just think we have to be careful. We've learned with alcohol that there are problems, and so we have to be careful with marijuana too.
As you noted, you've been on the South Haven School Board for a while, so that makes you someone with some experience, I guess, in a year when people say that they want change and they want fresh faces and all that sort of thing. Do you think experience could potentially be a liability this year?
How would that happen? How could experience be a liability?
That people say they want an outsider. They want someone who hasn't been part of the process before. You might have noticed that kind of happened in the presidential primary in one party.
Right. You know, in the 66th district, people are asking for experienced leadership. So I think they're fed up with Lansing, but not experience as somebody who has worked on a local board or a school board, somebody who has experience listening to the people, somebody who has experience being a leader and a legislator for all people. People really want, like you said, new people who are listening to families, who are listening to discussions that go on at the kitchen table. I call that kitchen table values. They're tired of leaders who are only listening to discussions that happen at board tables or at lobbyist offices. That's what they're tired of. They want people who are experienced with going door to door and listening to everybody's opinions.
As you noted, you ran for this office 2 years ago, and we'd be having a different conversation right now had you won. So why do you think that 2016 can be different from 2014?
I think that people have really taken a second look at what's going in Lansing, and they're discouraged. And I think that they just want change. And you can see that also on the national level. They're tired of the bipartisan bickering that's just dividing us into brighter shades of red and blue. They really tell me that they are not concerned with parties anymore. They want somebody who's going to go to Lansing and work hard, and not just work hard, but work hard for them and to keep the communication channels open too, year-round, not just at election times when they are looking for a vote.
Annie Brown, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Annie Brown is one of two Democrats on the ballot in the 66th State House District. That includes Van Buren and Northwest Kalamazoo County. We have reached out to the other Democrat running in the 66th State House District. So far, Dylan Curley has not responded to our invitation for an interview. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.